Namakari Ari Abasha Koriasa, Selalumana Kridia Sokoria, Alekomana Kridia Korea Siko, Eko Bakaria Sikoman Kinidido Ribria, Iba Bakaria Bria Sikurman and Kredido Ria, Ibria Sikurria Sikurria Barrio Momokurri, Ikuria Sikomanda Kredia Sokorveshe, Eko Bakaria Sat Kododia Sokorviasha, Seko Korea Sikurviasha to Kodidese, Lelmana Kuria Sikurviasha to Kodidese, Selena Kardia Sakurviasha to Kodidia Sokorveria, Ibamba Kardia Sokobakaria. Eba Korea Riasa Kobaba Korea Maria Akaria Sakoba Riana Kobat Knedit Ik Ikorbe Riasa Akabakaria Sakoko Korea Sikoria Eba de Kamana Kredia Sokorbariasa Seller Riasa Korbia Shat Kridiase Lekomana Kridia Sakorbiasha Lekoba Korea Sekorbia Shikamani Ikoria Sako Kokrias Sekorbiasha Zababa Kribaria, Baba Kriasi, Koman Kridia Sokori, Ididia Mana Kridia Sokorbi, Elokorias Sakamana Kridia Sokorbiasha, Lekomama Kariasi Kurbiasha to Kudia Se, Ebaba Karia Riasa to Kobaba Shakurias, Se Kuriasi Commander Kudia Se, Ebaba Kariasi Kurba Kriasa to Kudia Se, Seno Kriasa, Abakriasa to Kudia Se, Lekoriasi Kurbiasha to Kudia Se, Hello Kuriasi Kobakri. Elalo Korea sat Kuridia Mana Kuridia Sokri, Edekobakria Sikribia Shakuridia, Sekobatakadia Sako, Ekobakaribria, Sakorbaria, Sakorbaria Sikuriase, Sakabakria Sakobakria Sakodia, Sokoba Shakuriase, Leloria Sikribiasha. Eko baba kriya siko mana kridiya se kurbiyashe. Heleko baba kriya sati kudidiya se kurbiyasha. Salara diya se kurbiyasha ta kudidiya so. O baba baba kriya si kurbiyasha ka te teko. Teko riya si kurbiyasha ta kudidiya se. He baba kriya. Hello, Ria Sikurbia, Shat Kodidia, Sokurbia, Shat Kodidia, say, Selocomama Kuria Sat Kodidia, Sokurbia, Sha, Soloria Sikurbia, Shat Kodidia, Sokurbia, Sha, Saloria Sokurbia, Shat Kodidia, Sokurbia, Sha, Hello, Ria Sakurbia, Sha. This is the word of the Lord for the house of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord for the house of the Lord. My children, get ready, get ready, get ready. This is your season. This is your time. I am ready for you to move. I am ready for your steps to be ordered and to walk as I have ordained you to walk. I am ready for what those who came before you were looking forward to. You are going to be the instrument of my glory in this city, in this nation. I am saying you will be those that I have called for this season and this time to be lights, to destroy darkness, not just to be lights in darkness, but it is time to eradicate the lies of the enemy. And this city has been chosen because the enemy has tried to set up his kingdom here. He has tried to transform this place into an unholy place where everything and anything he wants to give license to can rule and reign. But I say, it is my city, it is my people, and my glory will be seen from this capital city. This is the largest state, and I will. Yeah, I know about Alaska, but I'm saying this is the largest state. This state, from this place, is going to shine, and the power that will come from those who will walk the walk that I have chosen will be what has not been seen. You think you've seen, you've read, you've heard about those who came before. But this is going to be that which was noised about. And they will say, who are those people? and where did they come from? And I'm going to say, and you will say, we are from the house of God. We are from God's kingdom. We have been deputized. We have been sent. We have been anointed. We have been empowered to destroy the works of darkness. I say that this time, this year, darkness will flee, and that which they said could reign in Austin, Texas, will not reign. And everywhere I send you, glory and revival will break out. I'm saying, children, it is time for the King to be seen and to reign. As he reigns in you, he will reign wherever I send you. This is that season. I'm telling you, this is the season for the kingdom to be seen, for the kingdom to be exalted. For those who said there would be no more revivals, there would be no more outbreaks of healing, you are going to be my testament that this is the day of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Ooh, I hear some. All right, we are good. Good morning. It's good to be here. The word that God had given. The word that God had given our pastors and Pastor Michelle was go. So that was part of the word for 2020. Can you believe it's 2020? 2020 already. Word was go. I remember a while back, it was about 2 or 3 years ago, my son is six, so I was having a conversation with him in the car, and he would have been 4 or 3 at the time. Got to an intersection and the light was red. And he was telling me, Daddy, go. I was like, son, the light is red. When you come to a traffic light and it's red, you stop. And he tells me, no, red means go. And I said, son, green means go, red means stop. And so we're having this argument back and forth. I don't know where he got this from. Having this argument back and forth, I said, look, green means go, red means stop. I said, you see those cars going by right in front of us? They have a green light. We have a red light. We stop. He just wasn't hearing it. He's like, green means stop, red means go. I was like, okay, whatever, son. I've learned quickly, you know, since then, not to argue with. And I catch, every once in a while, I still get into these arguments. I'm like, you can't win an argument with them. So one day, at least before he takes his driver's ed test, he'll at least know then. That's when it's going to count. Right now, I'm just going to, all right, Preston. Well, if we've gotten the word here at House of the Lord to go, that means we've got a green light. Right? I remember another time I was came to an intersection. I don't remember how long ago this was. I think I was in Plano. Come to an intersection, stop, and I'm waiting for the light to turn green. I don't know how long I've been waiting there, but I've been waiting there for quite a while. This car behind me honks its horn and says, you know, obviously honks its horn, and I'm like, why are you honking at me? I'm waiting for the light to turn green. Then I realized I was at a stop sign. I was very tired that day. Yes, I was at a stop sign waiting for the light to turn green. And many times, we as believers, we are at a stop sign waiting for the light to turn green because we are in this stupor or slumber. We need to wake up. And we've had our wake-up call for this year, 2020. It's go time. You've heard it ministered by Pastor Michelle. You've heard it even ministered by Brother Damon. If that wasn't enough, you've heard it ministered by Sister Tara. So guess what I'm going to talk about today? Going forth. That's the word that God has given me. And we're going to start in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you." There's a lot in here. Part of the word, as you know, that's been given to this body is go, or part of the word for 2020. And of course, you know me, I got to meditate and think about that. What does that mean? Which, by the way, somebody, I think it was Pastor Michelle or somebody posted another part of the word for 2020, and it was 2020 vision, right? Well, as you can see, I'm prepared for that. This may be a long assembly because I got these glasses and I can see everything in my Bible now, so we're going to have a good time today. There is a lot. But I, you know, as I'm meditating or thinking about this, one of the things that I've come to know and find out in God, in my growth with God, is that God is very particular about the words he speaks. And I've learned as of late to pay close attention to his exact word. His exact word. So today I want to share regarding the word we've been given and a couple of aspects to it. First of all, just as baseline, go is different than do. Do means to take action. Go means to go somewhere to take action. The other implication of go, it means to let go of something to lay hold of something else. I remember, again, taking my son to playground. Again, having got all these sorts of stories with my son, and he's very, very funny. But this particular instance is not funny at all. We're at a playground, and we were at the, you know, they have different ladders that you can climb up to get on the equipment. Well, he was on one of these jungle bar things, and he was on the ladder trying to go up because he really wanted to get to the top. But, and this was when he was really much little, he was looking and he wanted to get up, but he was scared to let go of the rung that he was on. And of course, as you all know, when you climb, you've got to take a step up. And there's a split second to where you are in between because you're letting go of something in order to get to the next step. In another situation at the park, you have that rock climbing type thing. And he was having difficulty going up and then coming down for the same reason. You got to let go of something in order to put your foot to the next spot. And he didn't want to do that because of fear. He's like, well, I don't want to let go of this. I do want to get to that other place, but I got to let go of this. And he didn't want to let go. Now, of course, you know, he's six and he's he's doing so much more. I told him, I said, hey, look, son, I'm going to go take a shower, you know, you play, do whatever, come back for you, and then we're going to go wherever it is we were going. So I'm taking a shower, getting dressed, different things like that, and things are going fine. You know, when it's you can hear your kid, and you know what they're doing. It's all pleasant, fun, so forth. No, I'm just getting ready. It's as if every parent knows, it's when it's, you get silent. Yes. That's when it's like, oh, Lord. What? So I'm getting ready, and I'm just doing it, whatever it is that I do, and I notice it had been silent for a little bit. I was like, what's going on? You know, so I run out there. I was like, and I yelled, Preston, are you okay? What are you doing? Run out there, and he's standing on top of a big old box. He's like, look, I'm on top of this box. I was like, boy, you better get to- You know, so I know he knows how to climb now, because he was at the top of this box, and he's like, look, I'm at the top now. You gotta watch. He's learned how to let go of some things now to get to where he wants to go. How many of us have let go of some things in order to get where we want to go? And this is what we're dealing with when we talk about going forth. It's not just a simple message of do, because I can stay where I'm at and do something. But go takes a little bit more initiative, because I've got to now change places, change positions. I've got to physically get somewhere in order to do something, receive something, be a blessing somewhere. And so we're going to look at this in a lot more detail today. Look at same chapter, 12 verse 1. Notice what the Lord said to Abram. He says, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And we just talked about this. In order to get to the land that God was showing him, he had to leave some things. You notice that? You see that? He had to leave country. He had to leave relatives. And he had to leave father's house. Gets even more specific as you're looking at this. And for some of us, it can be comfortable, the word uncomfortable, the word that God has given us, the word that God is telling us. And I want to just go through several different scriptures in the New Testament, a lot from our Lord as he's talking, and just give different examples. Y'all, for those who were here Wednesday night, and Brian shared just a little bit on Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 through 14. And before we get started and going through a lot of scriptures, I want to reread what he shared as far as this particular scripture. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 through 14, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. And I'm not going to dwell too much on this, but for some of you, your past is getting in the way of your future. It's holding you back. And there are going to be times where you need to let go of the past so that you can move forward. He shares here, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So there's a goal that each of us have that we are to press forward to. And for a lot of us, we have this question of, okay, I know that the word is go, but what does that mean? What am I supposed to do? And so today, I'm just going to, just like that person that was behind me at the stop sign, I'm going to blow my horn and let you know it's time to go. And I'm going to give you different examples in Scripture of what that means for you individually and for us corporately. What is this go? What are we to do? Because we're making it a lot more complicated than it is. It's actually very, very simple, and I'm hope to lay it out for you by the Holy Spirit. So let's start with Matthew chapter 2. We're going to go through a lot of verses, so if you got your new covenant, that's all we're going to need. Matthew chapter 2, verse 19. Is that where I want to go? Yes. Verse 19 through 20, and Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of... No, that's chapter 1. Y'all are in the right place. Chapter 2, verse 19. I'm with you. See, I caught up to you. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. I shared with some of you a couple of Sundays ago about when we were talking about the Christmas story and how the enemy's attempt was to take out Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth, right? So he had, the enemy didn't know what age the child was. So he just had the king order that everybody under the age of 2 be killed. Well, you all know the Christmas story. They were outside of the city at the time. So he gets a word from an angel that tells him, hey, things are safe. Go into the city. The go for some of us is about letting us know things are okay. We may have been in hiding. We may have been kept from some things. And the word for some of you is now it's time. You've been held back for a season, but things are safe now, as we see in this particular passage. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 23 through 24. It says, therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go first, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. This has always been an interesting passage for me because it says in verse 23, it's if your brother has something against you. I think, well, shouldn't it be if you have something against your brother that you leave your offering? And it said, no, if your brother has something against you. So a part of your go is realizing that, look, if there are offenses, we need to get those resolved. We need to get those taken care of. It was so important that our Lord even said here that... And I always think this is comical. He didn't say, take your offering with you. He said, leave it here, then go take care of that, and then come back and present it. Why? Because you could be tempted once you take that. Anyway, that's... That's what he said. That's in the scriptures. Matthew chapter 5, verse 41. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him. 2. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. I love the context of this whole passage, and particularly as, you know, when my brother John gets up and ministers, because he's always got stories to share about Kids Across America and how we always go the extra mile with them. And, you know, as I'm looking at this, you know, I find it interesting that some believers will decree Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, that God does exceedingly abundantly and above all we can ask, think, or comprehend, but they don't go above and beyond to do for others. They expect God to go and do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond for them, but then when it comes to ministry to others or being there for others, no. Think about that. You know, could it be that this year, your personal go is 2 miles whenever someone asks you for one? Could it be as simple as that? That somebody says, hey, could you go and do this for me? And this year you've made it your determination, I'm going to go above and beyond helping people out. Not just doing the minimum, or not just, here comes that word that we don't like, not just doing what's comfortable. I'm going to even do some things that are comfortable, that are Here's another non-favorite word. Things that are not convenient. You know, I'm not just going to pick and choose what I'm going to do for others based on convenience, but I'm actually going to inconvenience myself to be there for others. Could it be as simple as that for your goal? Imagine if that's all you did for this year. How much would your sphere of influence change for the better? Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. He says, but you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Uh-oh. Wow. We think about going forth as I'm going to do big and great things, which we all are, and I'm going to get some credit. Well, what if God tells you your bigness is going to be in the prayer closet this year? I tell you for a fact that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And you may think that being out in the spotlight is the big thing. Being in that prayer closet, you can accomplish so much more than being out in the public, being out doing what you think is a big thing. Big things happen in the prayer closet. Matthew chapter 8, verse 4. Jesus says to him, see that you tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest and present the offering that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Another passage of scripture that I find interesting because Jesus specifically tells him that he tells no one except the priest. And one of the things that we'll find as we're continuing along is that your go is very, very specific. And we've got to pay close attention to the words that God gives us. If he tells you to tell no one, then guess what? You tell no one except for the people he gives or puts in your heart to share. There are things to this day that I just don't speak about just because God hasn't released me to. But there are specific people that I have shared and confided in and told some things because they are trustworthy. They're not gossips. They know how to remember, was it Matthew 6? They know how to get in their prayer closet and handle some business. You know what I mean? They know how to take care of some things, right? And that may be very well for you, that you're used to just blabbing things, and God wants you to learn how to put a bridle on your tongue for this year. James hits it hard in his letter, and he talks about a person who can bridle the tongue is a perfect man. Think about that, just being able to control the tongue. Matthew chapter 9, verse 6. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, then he said to the paralytic, get up, pick up your bed, and go home. I want y'all to realize that Jesus told a paralyzed man to do something he couldn't do. So your go for 2020 may be things that you may not be able to do. If God said it, do it. Do it. If he said it, do it. Could it be that your go for 2020 is to do the impossible that you've only hoped for up to this point? Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. These 12, Yeshua sent out after instructing them, do not go in the way of the Gentiles and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Look at the specifics of that. Jesus tells them, don't go here, do go here and say this. That's why we as believers have to listen to the Spirit of our God. We've got to get specifics on, okay, where is he leading us? And part of this is, where is he not leading us? Because sometimes we want to go where he's not leading us. And God will say, I do not want you to go there. I need you over here, and these are the things that I need you to share. Matthew chapter 11, verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, go and report to John what you hear and see. If y'all look at the context of this scripture, the John's disciples, they were trying to figure out, is Jesus the one, or should they be expecting another? I believe that's the context here. And he tells them, go ahead and go back and report to John what you hear and see. And as I was looking at this, something that the Lord had shared with me is that some make evangelism complicated. And he asked me, who desires that people be saved more than anybody? It's him, right? We think we've got big hearts because we want to reach folk. Guess who's got a bigger heart than you? Guess who's got a bigger heart than me? God. So if God has this big of a heart, could it be that your go to evangelize is as simple as listening to God and saying to specific people what he wants you to? God has a heart for people just as big and bigger than ours. And so it could be just as simple as listening, okay, God, you've got a love for your people. Paul wrote to Timothy and says that you desire that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We know that that's your heart, Father, so where would you want me to go? What people group, if you will, do you want me to reach out to? Matthew chapter 17, verse 27. However, so that we do not offend them, go to the sea and throw in a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for you and me. Now, there's obviously a lot that we could share and minister to here on this. But the thing that I want to bring out is that the disciples had enough to pay that drachma tax. And yet Jesus gave a specific word of how to pay it. The go for all of us also involves our finances. We need to involve God in how we are stewards of what he has given us, because he's got specific things that he would want us to do. And part of that could be, look, you don't necessarily need to spend your own money. I'm going to show you where to go get some more. Wouldn't you want to listen to that? You know, we think of, when it comes to taxes, which are, you know, coming up April 15th, we think in terms of what we've got in our bank, what we've got in our resources, or what's, you know, what's finite. And God may be saying, look, I need you to call this person because they're ready to become a client. Well, how do you know that? Just reach out to this person. They're ready to do a deal with you, or they're ready to do whatever. Or I need you to link up with so-and-so because they've got a business opportunity for you. Part of your go is God being involved in helping you be the most successful financially that you've ever been in your life. I know that for me, that's part of what I've received this year. I was listening to Brad and Rosa Marie prophesying in Facebook, social media. Serena, social media works. I was listening to Brad and Rosa Marie, and they were giving their word for 2020, talking about a double portion. And I received that specifically in the area of business affairs, because it spoke directly to me in that particular arena. I also received it specifically as it relates to House of the Lord and membership. Double portion. that our membership would double this year. So, you know, look to see what is God saying, and of course, receive it. Don't just settle for the resources. Yeah, we can go forth and do what we've got with the people that are here, but God said double portion. And so in the efforts of what we're doing, you're going to see this assembly, the people here, double. Matthew chapter, where do I want to go? 21 verse 2. Matthew chapter 21 verse 2. I'm going to start in verse 1. When they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me." There's a lot in here, but I'm just going to touch on a couple of things. One, how many disciples were there? There's all together, there's 12. How many did he send? Two. I don't know how many people here at House of the Lord, but everybody's not supposed to be going to the same place. You understand? We all have specific assignments, and it's important that we all do our specific assignments. And you're going to see how that relates as we continue to look at the scriptures. But don't be trying to do what everybody else is doing. You got your specific assignment that God gives you by the Spirit. You know, I'm gonna leave that alone. What I do want to point out, though, is we look at this in verse 2. And the interesting thing about this is that it says this was to fulfill a specific prophetic word from many centuries ago. It was written in the scriptures, and you can even see it in your footnotes. It's taken from Isaiah. It's taken from Zechariah. So we're talking centuries ago, a word was given, and Yeshua came to fulfill this specific word. I say all that to say that could it be that your goal is simply to fulfill a specific word, and that word may not necessarily be for you, but it's about somebody else. See, we think that, you know, I'm going to go and do all these things and it's going to be about me. Not necessarily. You may be fulfilling something that God had put in motion or that he spoke, and it's your time to fulfill it. Or it may be that you're doing something going forth and it's not about you. And it's not even about the person you're doing it for, but it's about the person who's watching. I'll give you an example, a prophetic word that many people don't take as a prophetic word. John chapter 13, verse 35. I'm going to have my brother with the anointed voice. John chapter 13, verse 35. You can read that.
"By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another."
Amen. Did y'all catch that? Many times we just see this as, oh, this is what I'm to do. I'm to love others. I don't want you to see this scripture like that, just like that anymore. What I want you to see is that this is a prophetic word. This is a prophecy that our Redeemer gave, that if you do this, others are going to see that you are my disciples. Did y'all catch that? So by the very you going forth and just loving on your family, the brethren, you are in ministry because others are watching you, whether you know it or not. This is a prophetic word here, John chapter 13, 35. Matthew 22, verse 9. Here we go. "Go, therefore, to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast." What was this person to do?
Invite
What if your goal is simply to just bring people here? You know, we think we got to get them saved, baptized, filled in the Spirit, all that before they get here. What if you just need to invite people? We got people well equipped to, preach them happy, right? To love on them. We got, people like Brother John who will incite some fire in some folk who are just asleep, right? We got some Sister Jerry's in this body who will love on people and get them right and get them to stand tall and walk out. We got the encouragers in the body like Sister Tara who will make anybody have a bright day, right? We got, Brother Damon who will make you cut up if you ain't ever felt like you got some cutting up in you, right? He'll teach you how to enjoy life. All you need to do is just bring them. Serve them up. If I can say it like that. Just serve them. We make this so complicated. I don't have the boldness. I can't minister. I can't do what my brother Sean can do in terms of talking to people about the Lord. He just, Brother Sean's like my mom. I ain't never met strangers. My mom will just talk to anybody. This was funny. Probably get in trouble for telling a story, but I'm going to tell it anyway. So my mom got invited to, I think it was a football game. I think it was a Cowboys game. I know Pastor Rich is still a little sore. but she got invited to a Cowboys game, and this lady from Baptist Church, and my mom, I told y'all, she never met a stranger, and she's going around, everybody in the stands, talking to folk, and hey, how you doing? Just, shooting the breeze with everybody, meeting all these people and talking, and this lady that was with her, part of her Sunday class, she's like, "What? Why are you talking to everybody? You're embarrassing me." It's just like, she didn't like that. And it got to her because she was more of a, let's go in, enjoy the game. Let's not, make friends with the whole stadium, right? That's how my mom is. Long story there, but they don't. Anyway, I'm going to move on. You can't change my mama. And if you ain't like that, well, you shouldn't have invited her. Matthew chapter 26, verse 18 says, "And he said, go into the city, a certain man, and say to him, the teacher says, my time is near. I am to keep the Passover at your house with my disciples." 26:18. Maybe, I love this. Go into the city to a certain man. I would have been coming back to the Lord saying, can you give me this man's name? who is he? Scripture says a certain man. And you want me to do what? You just want me to ask if we can borrow their house? Can you send somebody else to do that? No. What did he do? He was obedient, right? And what happened? They got that house to use for the Passover. Matthew chapter 28, verse 10. Matthew chapter 28, verse 10. Jesus says to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me." Part of your go may be giving people specific assignments about what to do. I remember many, many years ago. Over a decade ago, I had a friend call me, and she had just kind of drifted away from the Lord. Got into some things that she shouldn't have been doing, and she felt so far away. And people on the outside would have never known it because she was just still involved in ministry and doing different things. And so she just happened to tell me as I'm talking And no one would know this about her. And I said, where was the last place that you remember being with and fellowshipping with God? And she mentioned her hometown and being there, and that's where she felt closest. And she just felt so lost at the time. And I said, why don't you go back there and get reacquainted? And so I just rose out of my spirit. I said that I don't typically tell people to move cities, but I did, just because I felt that in my spirit. Seen her many times on Facebook doing posts. She is flourishing. She actually went back home, got with God, involved in ministry, and, sometimes it's just giving people that simple direction. Where was the last place you were walking with God? Go there, get reacquainted. And she did. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There are very specific things in the Word of God that we could all be doing. You know, we're waiting for a fresh. What's that fresh go? Oh, yeah, I see it. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we come, you know, knocking on heaven's door. You got anything else? I see this, but is there anything else that's more suited for me? And yet in his word, he's got specifics that he's already shared with us. Mark chapter 5. Are y'all getting to see the picture? Mark chapter 5, verse 19. And he did not let him, but he says to him, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. I don't know how many times we've been told this over and over. Just share the good things that God has done for you. That alone changes folk, just by you opening your mouth and talking to people. Jesus specifically told him, hey, you know, he didn't want him to go do something. He just says, just go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you. In your sphere of influence, well, let me make it smaller. In your family, how many people in your family know all the good things that God has done for you? Well, why not share it with them if they don't know? I mean, all of us have stories and different things that God has done for us. Luke, I'm skipping over some, so y'all are thinking, how much more is it? I'm even skipping over some. Yes. I don't want to forget this one. Mark chapter 5, 34. Thank you, Lord. Mark chapter 5, verse 34. This is the, as we all know, the woman with the issue of blood. Verse 34, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Yes, thank you, Holy Spirit. I needed to come back because I want to bring this out. She was already healed in verse 29. And yet, what did Jesus tell her in verse 34? He says, go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Understand that she had been suffering for 12 years. 12 years dealing with the, crap that she was dealing with. 12 years dealing with the crap that she was dealing with, God sent her home and said, just go in peace and be healed of your affliction. For some of you, your go is just to simply enjoy your time with God in peace, because you haven't had peace in a long time. And I'm telling you, by the Spirit, that may be your simple go. You need to get built back up, get encouraged. There are people who will fight this fight while you are getting where you need to be. You understand that? don't worry, your time will come, because this is tag team. So it may be 2021, and we say, okay, look, I've been out in the field, I'm tagging, you're it, you've been refreshed, relaxed for a whole year, you get out there, I'm gonna pop a squat for a little bit and, you know, drink this glass of lemonade and put my feet in the ice, whatever the case may be. But right now, you have been dealing with so much junk for the last long season that you just need to be built up. That is your go. I'm telling, because there's going to be some of you that are so, well, all these people are doing this and this and this and this and this and this. And you're going to be anxious to, well, I need to do my part. We're going to need you. So I need you to get rest. You understand? I need you to get built up. I need you to, because the season that we're walking into, you've got to know God for yourself. You've got to be that in tune with God. So take a breather. Get to know him. Worship him. Spend time with him. That is your go. We got people who are about to, you know, storm down some stuff. We gonna need help carrying the spoils, so get rested. It'll be your time when we get to the spoils, right? Mark chapter 6, verse 45. Told you I got my 2020 vision, so we gonna look at a lot. I can see. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side to Bethsaida while he himself was sending the crowd away. We just sang a song talking about standing, and in the song it talks about walking on water. Well, this is a setup for walking on water. Jesus walks on water after the disciples did what? They took the boat that it was supposed to be he and them in, and they went ahead. So in this particular verse, they set up for a miracle and for the power of God to be moving. And it could be the case that your call for this year is to set some things up for a miracle and for the power of God to move in a way that you have never seen before. You just got to be obedient to move the boat where he told you to move it. And then get out of the way. Watch him do and bring miracles, powers, signs, and wonders. Luke, I'm skipping here, so let's go to Luke chapter 10, verse 3. Go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. I read the scripture and I said, And the vision that came to me was Dwayne from What's Happening. He's like, Sometimes God will say things to you that you're like, yeah, give me so-and-so's word. Give me so-and-so's word, because I ain't going out with a bunch of wolves. Guess what? If God sends you out in the midst of wolves, it's because he knows what's in you. And he knows that those wolves aren't going to take you, but that you're going to take those wolves. Amen. Think about that. If God specifically told you, a lamb, to go out in the midst of wolves, would he tell you that to be eaten and destroyed? No, we've got a promise, Jeremiah 29:11. We've got, there's a song we've just been singing, Standing. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that he has plans to prosper us. He doesn't have plans to bring us to calamity, right? So if he is sending you out in the midst of wolves, it's because you are packing heat that you don't even know about. So I'd be excited, actually, about that word. Hallelujah. John chapter 7, verse 8. See, we only did one scripture in Luke. Say praise the Lord. John chapter 7, verse 8. Go up to the feast yourselves. So he's talking to the disciples. They're having the feast, right? He says, go up to the feast yourselves. I do not go up to this feast because my time is not yet fully come. Jesus knew where he was supposed to be. And he said, look, y'all go enjoy yourselves. Go there. My time has not fully come. I had somebody, it was actually Diane, I was visiting with her yesterday at the hospital, and she asked me, are you going to Botswana this year? I said, no. She's like, oh, okay. And we were just talking, and I was like, it's not time for me to go. I know what I'm supposed to be doing this year. There are going to be people that go. I'm going to be staying, helping, do what I need to do. I don't know if I'm going in the future. All I know is that this year, no. It's important for you to know where you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to be doing. Remember, I gave you a scripture earlier about Jesus sending how many disciples to go get the colt? Two. He didn't send all 12. I need the rest of you 10 here, and particularly the betrayer. I need you close beside me. You already going to destroy some stuff, so I need you right by my... Anyway, that's right, exactly. Sister Anitra said, I need to keep an eye on you because you're about to follow the devil. John, ooh, okay. Hey, I'm going to be obedient, so I'm hitting the ones that he's telling me. John chapter 8, verse 11, because some of us, there's specific ones that I don't want to leave anybody out. John chapter 8, verse 11, she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, I do not condemn you either. Go, from now on, sin no more. Y'all know this is the account of, it's talking about the adulterous woman. And I read this, and this is what the Lord had put in my heart, that maybe this year is just enough time for you to spend time making better decisions. You know, maybe we need to do work on that right or wrong thinking, right? Some need to stay here and take care of that, get some things right with the Lord. Because all he told her was, go and sin no more. For some of you, that alone may be enough. Like, I do want to go, but this thing that's got a hold of me, I need to get this. It's like, why don't you get that taken care of, okay? Beat that addiction. Beat that habit. Show that you are bigger than that. Show that God leads you in triumph in everything. And when you have conquered that mountain, then we can go take this other mountain. John chapter 11. I'm calling him as he's showing it to me. John chapter 11, verse 16 says, therefore Thomas, who is called Didymus, says to his fellow disciples, let us also go so that we may die with him. Most of you all, well, I think all of you, are the faithful. Y'all are the ones here. It's just for the folk who aren't here. There's going to be some who are going to come along just to spectate and see how this thing turns out. They've heard the word. They've heard the different things that you have spoken. They've heard the different things that Pastor Richard has said, that Pastor Michelle has said, and they're just along for the ride. Thomas specifically said to the disciples, let's go. You see what I'm reading here? Let's go in John 11, 16, so that we may die with him. Not everybody's going to believe and stand at your level of faith. Don't tell them to stay at home. Just say, come along. Watch what we do. I know you're not there yet. Just watch. You're going to learn. Y'all have heard that before. You're going to learn. I was meeting with Pastor Richard and Pastor Michelle, and there was a word that she had... Sorry. I just crack up. They're having these deep meetings with our pastors, and if y'all have met with Pastor Richard and Pastor Michelle, just one-on-one, there'll be times where Pastor Michelle will just get to prophesying. And she will just go on, and she's just, you know, And it's funny because I'm sitting at the table with Pastor Richard. She's sitting at her computer kind of far off. I'm just getting the setting, and she's just listening. And then all of a sudden, just boom, you can't write fast enough because she just starts prophesying what she sees, what's coming ahead, and all this and that. And I'm just like, I need to record this, you know? Because there have been times where, and specifically this time, what she said was that this year, people are going to say that they didn't see that coming. And I remember that because that stuck to me, and it was specifically in regards to just things in this body and things as it related to me, that she said, people are going to say about, they did not see that coming. And I say all that to say that, there's people here that, hey, we're going to drag you along. You may not be buying this yet, but it's going to come. we're gonna jumpstart you with the bigness that God has for this body. John chapter 20. Probably my favorite. John chapter 20. One of my favorites. John chapter 20, verse 17. Jesus says to her, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. Who is he speaking to? Mary Magdalene. And what does she want to do? She just wanted to stay and cling to Jesus, right? What did he send her to do? Where were the brethren? Hiding, waiting for him to come back. Well, guess what? He's already back. She's experiencing the glory of God and seeing, and he's like, hold on, let me ascend to the Father. I say this to you, this was powerful for me. Some of you, your go is to go back to those brethren, sistren, who have left the church and bring them back. Because they think that the anointing and the power has left because Pastor Jim is no longer with us. And they need to understand that the power of God is flowing, that everything that Pastor Jim has spoken, it is coming to pass with the people that are here. And your assignment, I say that and I'm thinking of, I don't remember what it was, but your assignment, should you choose, they sent these missions out. I don't remember what that was for. No, I know it was for Mission Impossible, but they did it as a theme for Pastor Appreciation. Yeah. Your assignment, if you wish to choose, for some of you, is simply every person that you look around, you say, where have they been? Why aren't they here? Go get them. Go get them. Go love them. Go minister to them. Go reach out to them. That may be simply all that you do. Well, I'm just going to go and one by one, bring them back. Okay, I noticed this person used to sit over here. Okay, I'm going to go find out. Hey, have you seen? Okay, I got them. You bring them back. Then it's like, okay, who used to sit there? I know where they are. Hey, do you have so-and-so's number? Let me go in. And you just start bringing them back. Jesus sent Mary Magdalene and said, look, I'm going to ascend. You tell them boys that I am back. That it's about to be on and popping in here. Acts chapter 8. We're almost done because we're in Acts. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. I have to show you this progression because many times we look at this word about going forth, and we want the whole vision for 2020. They don't necessarily come like that. Look at the life of Philip. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 says, but an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. for some of us, God is going to send us on a desert road. And when I say desert road, I mean that in the symbolic sense. That you're like, this, ain't nothing can come good of being on this road, right? This is a desert road. And he didn't tell him what was going to happen, but yet what did Philip do? He was obedient. So we drop down to verse 29. Then the Spirit said to Philip, when did the Spirit say this to Philip? After Philip obeyed and did what he was told to do. So Philip decided to follow, and it says here, now, go up and join this chariot, because he saw a chariot. And we get on, and of course, you understand, he gets to minister. It sets up an opportunity for ministry and even baptism. It may be simply that God tells you to do something, and you don't get the next instructions until you're obedient and doing what he first told you to do. Then you get the rest, and then ministry unfolds. Y'all getting the picture? Good. Several things that I want you to understand as we've gone through these scriptures, that the word that God gives you, the word that God gives me, it is very specific. Well, why did God only share go with Sister or Pastor Michelle? Because the go is different for everybody here. Remember, I said, pay attention specifically to what God says. She said, go is a part of the vision I've been given for 2020. That's all I got. It's a part of it. God is giving each of us the rest of what we're supposed to do. We've got to be obedient. We've got to be obedient. Genesis chapter 12, verse 11. Lord's talking to Abram, and he says, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. The interesting thing about this passage that we started with, it says, go forth. Abram had to move. And it wasn't until he started moving that God opened the picture up for him. Because it says, go forth, then it says, and I will show you. We didn't get to see the picture until he started moving. And it may be that way for you. You're sitting stopped at a stop sign, and God's waiting for you to cross the intersection so he can tell you where to go next. Last thing that I will share with you before we close, I want to make sure. God said to tell the people this. There's somebody that needs to hear this. And I'm going to say it just like he told me. Running from something is not the same as going forth. Some of you are running from something, and whatever happened, it was in 2019, and you think, whew, I made it barely. I'm in 2020, and it's the fifth of the year. I'm here. I escaped. I ran from it. And God's saying, I didn't tell you to run from that. It may be that he wants you to face and conquer that mountain. And you are going to go around the mountain and around in circles until you do and conquer the thing that you fear the most. Guess what? You have got backup. There are people here who've got your back who will help you through whatever it is you are going through. I can attest, I know for a fact that we can get through anything, that there's well-abled people in this body. But dear God, don't run from something that God told you to face. It's only going to cause a stunning in your growth. You get up, you face what God puts before you. You've got backup, you've got support, you've got help, and most importantly, you've got the King of Kings and the Spirit of the living God inside of you. Praise God. Pastor Richard.
This word was a word for you for this year, for the beginning of where I have told you this house is going. If you think because you're in the house, you'll go where the house is ordained to go, do what the house is ordained to do, wake up. I am going to use those people who are hearkening to the word that has been spoken, who are going to be on their face before me, who are going to be submitted to the leadership, who are going to hear and obey. This is not a time where you're going to be able to say, but Lord, I was here. I am looking for people who are going to pursue the anointing, because the anointing is what the world needs. They don't need another charismatic person. They need to see the power and the glory of my son. Either you are going to submit and do what the Spirit is showing you, or you will be one of those who will be saying, but I was there, but somebody else is going to have what you should have had. I love you, but I am moving. The Spirit is moving. Hear me. This house is marked for greatness, but you're going to have to go by the Spirit, and you're going to have to hear, and nobody can drag you. This is your word. Either you are going to submit, or you are not going to be one of those who I can send out.
When you see the Lord, you'll say, here am I, send me. When you see him high and lifted up, you'll say, here am I, send me. Did you see yourself in any of these goes? Did you see yourself? Now, I want to tell you, everybody is not called to go in peace and rest for a year. That was a specific word to a specific person. Not for everybody. We all have got things to do. But, wow, what a, it's not an indictment, maybe it is. Instruction, revelation, to go. I'm not going to re-preach it. Stand with me. Father, we are so thankful for the word that we have heard. We thank you, Father, that you have spoken to us this morning through your word, through your servant. And Father, we choose to take the word that we have heard and to apply it to our lives and allow those things that you have pointed out to us specifically. Father, I believe that with everyone, a heart was touched. Maybe not all hearts, but a heart was touched, and that is for them. Father, I thank you that your word will not return void. You sent it for a particular purpose, for a particular reason, and that reason is to establish your kingdom. And there are so many facets of your kingdom to be established. I thank you, Father, that you have chosen us to send us into every one of these situations, every one of these circumstances. Father, we open our heart, we open our will, we say, send me. Send me. I will do what you have called me to do. I will go where you have called me to go. To say, to see, to encourage, to release. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now I just seal the word in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. You are the guide. Reveal and bring back to our remembrance and to our knowledge the things that we have heard this morning. that our lives may be changed and the whole world would be changed. Yes, Father, the whole world, because you said that if we would seek you, you would give us the nations. If we would ask of you, you would give us the nations. So, Father, we choose to claim the whole world, starting right here in this place, in Austin, and in Texas, and in the United States, and in Botswana, and Uganda, and wherever you send us, Father God, we will be obedient because your Spirit is within us. You are leading us, you're guiding us, and it's always in truth, triumph, and victory, and it's always with joy and peace. Father, you do not send us in places where we are in peril, where we are distressed. So, Father, I thank you that it is with great joy. It is with great joy that we go. Joy that we go. You said that we would go out with joy and be led forth with peace. So I thank you for that promise, Father. And I thank you for each one that's gathered here this morning. I thank you for each heart that you have a plan, you have a purpose, you have an agenda for each one. And I thank you, Father, that we are submitting ourselves to you. We are submitting to you. We are resisting the lies and the effects of the evil. And we are standing up and being the light that not only shines in darkness, but dispels the darkness, that causes the darkness to go away and be eliminated. I thank you for that, Father. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. I lift up each one in this assembly. I lift up each one, Father, that your grace, that your mercy, and your anointing flow freely in their lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We are obedient to do what you have spoken to us in your word. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, let's offer praise to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Father, for all your glory. For your glory, Father God. Hallelujah. We will boast in your greatness. We will manifest your greatness, Father God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to see everybody. We know I'm excited that God said we're going to double. All right. We still got some more chairs we can sit out. You notice this big aisle here? That's for running and celebrating and twisting and turning and dancing. But if we need to, we can put up some more chairs out. We had some going ons here Wednesday night. If you weren't here, you missed it. You missed it. Brother Damon was doing laps around the. It was a good time. It was a good time. But there's many, many, many more good times in store, and it's not just when we come together, it's in your life daily, because we're going to be obedient, and he always leads us in victory, and he does it with joy, with great joy, not necessarily happiness, but with joy. So if you don't have joy, something is wrong. Fix it. You can fix it. Because it's supposed to be with joy that is unspeakable. That means it goes against the circumstances. If the circumstances are messed up, you can still have joy. If you don't have joy, that means the circumstances are influencing you too much. Get back to the Word of God. Let the Word of God influence you, and that joy will be flowing again. And the peace of God that passes understanding. That means I don't know why I've got peace when all this is going on around me, but that's because of the Spirit of God. Amen? Let me bless you. Yes, yes, we're going to participate in blessing Brother Kim because he brought the Word, the whole Word and nothing but the Word, to us this morning. So he is worthy of being blessed. He blessed us spiritually. We'll bless him financially. In this bucket right up here. You are blessed. I call you the blessed of the Lord, that everywhere you go, you are the light shining in the darkness, and the darkness is dispelled because of your presence, because of the presence of the Lord that is in you. You are a sweet-smelling aroma of the presence of God, and you make a difference when you come into a place. All of your ways are ordered of the Lord, and you are surrounded with His divine favor. He leads you by His goodness and His grace, and mercy follows you for every day of your life. Everything you put your hand to is prosperous and successful, and you are raised up to be the head and not the tail, to be above and not beneath. You follow the Spirit of God, and He always causes you to triumph. You are blessed in whom the Lord is blessed. None can curse. You are children of the Most High God, and your heritage is to walk in peace. I call you blessed. We'll see you Wednesday night. Fellowship with somebody. Go out to eat. Do something. Be a family. And if you hadn't got your calendar, your 2020 calendar yet, they're still up here. Help yourself.